Good morning, I'm Chairman Brad Holton. I'll bring the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Van Beek. Currently held in traffic is Commissioner Brooks. He'll join us at any moment. With that, let's get started. We have a 9:30 agenda item. It's consider public hearing comment regarding sole source procurement by prosecutor by Carpel. And so if it is okay, Commissioner, can I go ahead and open the public hearing?
Yes, Chairman, thank you so much.
All right. So the public hearing for testimony is open. And what have we received anything by a written or hand submittal? We have not. Is there anyone in the gallery who wishes to comment on this topic on the sole source procurement? Not getting paid enough. Okay, all right. So with that, I'm certainly in favor of it with what I know, and I would put that on the record for the public hearing.
And Chairman, can I make a comment? And then I would like the chief and the prosecutor, if that pleases you on that. This has been a long time in coming. The system that's currently in place there's been a placeholder in there for a new system, if I'm thinking of the same one, for a number of years, probably since I got here. So the IT team has been very good about upholding the service agreement portion of that, even though we're past the life of that existing contract. And with an incoming new prosecutor, we're excited about the possibilities that are held within this program to manage civil, criminal, and assist the board. So I think this will be a great win. It does not come without a price, but that's what I was hoping we could have. The IT and what it will be involved in that and what that looks like for budgeting. And then Prosecutor Boyd's comments. I think he's used this system before, which is always a great testimony. It's not just flying by the seat of our pants. So I am in support of upping the level of service to our prosecutors and the civil team, as well as assisting the board with where we're at on placeholders and project management. So
Greg, if you just care to say some of the general things. I think it is important for the public to know that this isn't just a knee-jerk reaction, or is this just something of a new prosecutor wanting something different in his office? This has been a need for quite some time.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek, the just where, which is the case management application the prosecutor attorney's office uses, it's been kind of sandboxed in legacy mode since 2021. That's when they actually get end of life the application. It's the same application we use in public defense before it went to the state. And we've been wanting a new case management system for a long time because it's pretty much stagnant right now. We can't enhance it. We can't change it. We can't really maneuver what's in today's world. So we need a new product. And this really is a good product. We vetted this Carpel product out technically, and it checks all the boxes. Nothing's 100%, but it's about 99%, and the 1%, we have enough systems on-prem, on-site to adapt to that. But we have actually kept this old system in support, trying to find, and I'm just going to say Pine Technologies, what we've been using, which is our kind of a spinoff of the JustWare group, the support of JustWare. So it's time to replace this.
Thank you, Mr. Rast and Commissioner Holton, Commissioner Van Beek, thank you. We have worked long and hard on this proposal, and I really want to thank our civil team for going over, and we really renegotiated a lot of this and did a very good job, I think, of getting some good concessions out of Prosecutor by Carpel. They were very accommodating, actually, with us, and then Greg Rast's team was very good in just working through all of the technical difficulties of doing a transition like this. As was mentioned previously, this is a software that was old. You know, when I first began here as a deputy prosecutor, it was an ancient system then. It's an old database kind of driven system that really you have to do a lot of working into. And probably back in the era of the Pentium in the late 90s, it was probably a great system. But relative to the 2020s, it is just not up to date at all. It has been so out of date that it's not even covered by, I mean, we're basically just keeping it going with glue and duct tape, essentially. And that actually has a huge cost to the Canyon County taxpayer. And the cost of that is we have an army of legal assistants who are doing things that that could be done automatically by a system. And so this is a little bit more expensive system in terms of the amount of money of the cost year over year for the payment of the system itself. But I believe that it will save us quite a bit more than what we're even paying for it in terms of relatively in terms of the need for legal assistance to essentially do work that has been automated for decades at this point. And that is apparent to me. I've used, at this point, I think I've used four different electronic digital systems for prosecutors. And so I've used all of the big names. This, I think Greg was right when he says it's 99% or it's not quite, it's not perfect. And I wouldn't pretend that it is. But I do think that the consensus is that it is the best product that's out there. There isn't quite a product that's equivalent that I can, that really meets, checks the boxes. And so I think we're going to gain a lot of efficiencies where we'll be able to put redirect our resources towards actually winning cases as opposed to spending all of our time with legal assistance just trying to keep the old system going. So I'm really appreciative of all the work that's been done, especially by the IT folks and by our civil. So thank you all for that.
Chairman. Go ahead.
Just have one more comment too. Is the just where the case management actually is targeted for criminal defense. So now we need to find a case management system that actually accommodates the civil side as well as the criminal side of the prosecuting attorney's office.
It's a huge thing.
And the civil, the amount of work that they produce on agreements, review, inquiries, that really should be tracked, and we don't have a tool right now for that. So this actually accommodates for that.
Yeah, and that's a great, I alluded to that, but I appreciate you calling that out because it will help, as the prosecutors indicated, streamline some of the efficiencies with your team, and there'll be a cost savings with that, with especially as the county's growing and there's more prosecution. I did want to ask, Chairman, if it's okay, it looks like the go-live date is November 10th of this year. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And then there's a startup one-time cost of $177,327, and then an annual renewal cost, and then of $216,700. Is there a built-in agreement? I didn't see that. I didn't.
I have copies of the agreement right here with all the details, but I think you're accurately describing the general gist of it. There's the cost for just the one-time, essentially the installation and then the adaptation from our old JustWare files to the migration of those files to files, which they've done many times. They have assured us technically they're very proficient at doing, but we have, I think, 120 terabytes of data right now. We're going to pare that down. We're going to get it under 100. We have some ideas about doing that, and we're pretty confident we're able to do that. And so we'll be able to not need more data than that. But that, I don't know if I'm answering your question, Ms. Van Veen.
Yes, you are. And the question I had, I didn't see the year-over-year percent increase. Is that built into the contract or that negotiated?
That is, so we, sorry, you want to go on that, Ben? We did negotiate that, and that was a great point by our, when I compliment our civil team on this, that was a question that was raised by Aaron and Ben, and I think we, what did we nail them down to in terms of years?
It was 4 years of no increase.
Nice.
So the cost will remain.
Okay.
4 years, Commissioner.
Well, that's great. That'll help us in the budget upcoming. That's some projects that are in the works, so any little bit helps, and we appreciate that. Thank you for your efforts on that negotiation.
Chairman Holton and Commissioner Van Beek, if I can come here on the cost overall, one of the things that PA Boyd was really trying to work with, too, was separating this out into two different fiscal years, but also having a very firm number for what's moving forward so that we know what to budget for. Part of that is it's about $32,000 per 100 terabytes. So originally we were anticipating 200 terabytes. Both PA Boyd and Chief Rast have worked to get that number down, so it's a little more manageable. The $177,000 also includes moving all what they call migrating data from JustWare into CARPEL, so that when we start with CARPEL, we have all of our stuff from all the other cases that we've handled. $50,000 and Chief Rast can from this is pretty cheap to do that with that much data. So Everybody's worked really diligently on giving this board accurate numbers, as well as trying to keep this system affordable. The only thing we could see with costs moving forward would be the cost of data, depending on how it's stored, and also the, so that would be potentially a $32,000 difference in the years moving forward, and then also if the office were to grow larger than the 95 licenses, then we need to add expenses to that. But I think that overall, these are pretty accurate numbers for what you're going to see for the next few years.
Yeah. Chairman, too, I think it's important to note that you do get training provided in there for people new to the CARPEL system, and then the interface with Spillman, which is critical for the prosecutor and the sheriff's office on what they do to manage, keep our community safe. So a great product, looks like.
Chairman Holden, Commissioner Van Beek, one of the things you'll also notice when P.A. Boyd will get to the contract part, there's an MOU. One of the interesting things is they have, CARPEL works with about 20 or 30 other counties, much, much smaller than Canyon County, on a statewide, basically, database sharing. So if we have somebody who's arrested that we're prosecuting here, we can look up and see with those cooperating counties what charges that person has facing in those other counties.
Yeah, that's a great win. The sheriff's office has been moving toward that interstate and intrastate posture of looking at what's available out there for records. So I think that's a great win, too.
And Mr. Chair, I do have to say, too, is I'd give kudos for the negotiation of doing 4 years with no increase in cost, because what I'm seeing holistically within IT and the technical ecosystem is software is out of control. Subscription costs are going up. Some are going up almost 20% between software and hardware. So being able to do a long-term negotiation, and we're trying to do that with IT as well, trying to lock in these rates for year-over-year increases.
Yeah.
So well done on that.
Yeah.
And they did that, Commissioner, with a company that's fairly large sized, and so they don't necessarily have to have this business, although we are a big client, but they did a good job of negotiating that, given that. And I was impressed, frankly, during our negotiation with their willingness to negotiate with us, which I thought, that's a good sign. It's a good company, I think.
Yeah, and Chairman, I will say it goes to show, too, the cooperative partnership between the board and assessing what's needed in the offices and departments. And thank you, Prosecutor Boyd, for coming forward with ideas on what your budget needs and what you need to do. I think we are, it's a quiet posture right now with the you at the helm on what's happening with prosecution. It is important, and thank you and your team. It's always interesting. Yeah.
Okay. I think that to be on focus for what the agendized item was, the point being is that this is a sole source procurement, and this company has risen high and above any of the other sort of competitors, and that's the point that we've kind of been enumerating, is this company is head and shoulders above anything of quote-unquote possible competition. And so I think through this discussion we've kind of enumerated multiple points of that in comparison. And we really are coming out of the Stone Age with our current system to this, and so it is great.
And Mr. Chair, if I may, just supplement what you just said, what the part of the reason for the sole source procurement is the compatibility of this system with not just our own current IT systems, but also other law enforcement input systems. And that's something that the other systems just
can't do.
The reason it's a sole source and we're not just bidding it to others is that there are no competitors that do those functions in terms of intersectionality with the other law enforcement inputs. And we have such large, amounts of data that we need to pass from NAMPA PD, from Caldwell PD, and from CCSO, that's a key feature that we need for this system.
Thank you. Excellent. Okay, so last call for any comments for the public hearing. I am seeing none, so I will close the public hearing process on today's agenda item. So I guess we will be seeing a future coming contract, or is it ready?
Mr. Chair, if I may approach.
Yes.
So we have a signed contract, I think, that's the contract, and we have signed here for you as commissioners,
okay,
as well as the MOU that was described by Mr. Pizzoli about our cooperation with other counties. So that's this one right here is the memorandum of understanding,
okay,
of our cooperation with other counties and sharing data.
Okay.
And the actual contract with Prosecutor Guy Cartel is to your left.
To my left.
That
okay.
Sent previously down, but that's the signed original, so.
Okay.
Very good.
Discussion on these or a motion?
Chairman, I'm in favor, and I move that the board signs the Prosecutor by Carpel agreement as well as the Memorandum of Understanding between Canyon County Prosecuting Attorney's Office and Carpel Solutions for participation in statewide data sharing for Prosecutor by Carpel.
I'll second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Oh, this is going to be good. All right. Anything else on this agenda topic? Being that there's none, let's move on to our other action items for this morning. So we have consideration of the following action items. Let's start with them as they are in the order. Action item, consider signing an ordinance adopting Chapter 7, Article 9, Agricultural Protection Act, Area Act. And the second one is in conjunction. Action item, consider signing a summary of a ordinance adopting Chapter 7, Article 9, Agricultural Protection Area Act. Thank you.
Commissioners, if I may, we have DSD here who worked very, very hard all last fall and into the new year here on the Agricultural Protection Act. You might remember we had a very long public hearing and dispute debate with planning and zoning and those things. We intended to get these documents to you in January, which was required in the statute. Although we had the public hearing and adopted the ordinance, there was a minor change to that ordinance, which included based on my review of all the audio and the notes and minutes that were really well kept by Board of County Commissioners staff. The only change was a 15-month notice prior to when the 20-year expiration would occur, so we included that language. However, both DSD and our office noted that the legislature was also working to amend the statute. Ultimately, there was two bills that amended this code. Both of those were passed, ultimately adopted and signed into law. I believe both were emergency codes. So both Zach Wesley and I went through those and modified the ordinances to match the statutes. So there wasn't any necessarily reason to go back into the public hearing aspect of this, because all we're doing is mirroring what the state law is. So if we had just passed this without those modifications, we would have had to do it in one way, shape, or form, because it's already state law and we can't be in contradiction to state law. So what we have presented to you is two parts. One is that the brand new ordinances that are going to go into the Canyon County ordinances regarding the establishment of the Agricultural Protection Act and the processes necessary to review, to approve, and to be and the objective standards necessary for DSD to accept those applications. One of the main changes is in Idaho Code 67-6709. It's 6907. Sorry, a little dyslexia there. In that how the board receives those. Before, it was always submitted to a commission. Commission made their decision, and then that could be appealed to the board. Now, it looks like there can either be a commission decision. DSD will still receive them, review them, prepare them, send them up to the commission, but there can also be a designee from this board to receive and review those as well. Once that commission or individual reviews the application, they will make a written report, and then that report will be sent to the board. And so there's a little bit of an appeal. Once the board has it, there will actually be a public hearing on these now, which was not present before. And then within 60 days after the public hearing, the board will make a decision. That's kind of where that new twist comes in. We never had the public hearing before, and it also didn't include a designee of this board to make a decision before it gets to the board, whether to approve or disapprove. There's still an appeals process from that. There's still some of the automatic stuff. So we have rewritten our ordinance to match the new state law. And so that's where you see those, the primary changes in there. And again, that's not a, none of those included the factors that this board would normally have to consider, or deadlines or dates or anything. The changes were all statutory changes to comply with Idaho code. Hopefully, I don't know, we have no idea what the legislature next year is going to do, but at least for now, if this board has accepted it, or has previously accepted these ordinances after the public hearing, this is just kind of the written confirmation. I do apologize that it's taken a little bit of time. It's not the fault of DST. It was kind of just wanting to see what the state was going to do with their new amendments before we passed a series of laws that were in violation of state law.
So I have a procedural question. If we have to do this in 60 days, does that include or exclude the time that we have to send out public notice for the meeting?
I believe that that excludes it. It's 60 days after the public hearing, okay, as I recall.
Chairman, yes. I have a question, and I know that this, thank you for the work that both DSD leadership and our legal team has done. It'll be interesting and challenging to see where this goes. Section 8, particularly on the last bullet points there, the degree of transitional land, the agricultural production compatibility, soil classification, water rights and usage, other local impacts. A lot of tentacles out there that are going to be challenging, particularly when this is not a mandate for cities where most of that growth and development is occurring. So I am appreciative that we have a good DSD team that's working well together. This is going to be important for the community. And Chairman, yesterday you in a meeting said that you can predict it's 57 degrees and windy. I don't know how you go 20 years and predict what, with this kind of growth, what's going to happen and what kind of enclaves. I'm totally pro-ag. We're in ag. It's just a different and changing climate. And right now, if these guidelines were applied to areas of impact for cities, I would submit that that would not pass muster because your cities are taking prime farm ground. We're a small percentage. We say that many times on the record. But to try and get the attention of ag preservation activists, which I, again, we are pro-ag, but we're trying to align the message with what's actually boots on the ground happening. So all that being said, long story long, this is going to be interesting to see how this is carried out. And I will also be interested to see who the contributors are to the funds that are supposed to be dispersed for landholders. And I hope people that are ringing that bell are some of the largest contributors to that fund. So
there is no fund.
There is no fund. There you go. They took that out. Okay. Thank you, Commissioner Brooks. It's, as Chief Bazzoli, it's changing. We're not sure what's going to happen next.
Chairman Holton, if I can readdress 679706, and it's in the statute. Once you receive as the board a recommendation from the commission to support or reject an application, you have 60 days to make a decision that includes the public hearing and the requirements for the notice of public hearing to go out. If the board, so since within 60 days of receiving a recommendation, the board shall hold a public hearing regarding the application in accordance with the notice and hearing procedures of 676509, which is our normal notification. The board may approve or deny the application. The creation shall be effective and final action. If the board fails to take action within 60 days of receiving the recommendation of the agricultural protection area becomes final. It's still inconsistent language because it says you have to have a public hearing and make a decision within 60 days. But if you don't do that, then whatever the action is becomes final. It's kind of a, again, it's a section A or section one and two are a little bit inconsistent.
So it's literally you have 40 days if you consider the 21 days that we need to bank for the public hearing notice. So, oh, I could use terms that would not be endearing. Okay.
Chairman?
Commissioner Brooks.
Yep, I was going to ask him to provide input.
Chief Pizzoli, I'm not seeing where the board is involved in the decision if it's not an appeal. So are you reading from the ordinance that you guys have come up with, or are you reading from the state law that was passed?
State law that was passed.
Because what I'm reading in 679706, it says the planning and zoning administrator or other administrative officer appointed by the board.
That's right. I apologize. I was actually reading from the statute that they haven't updated on the online. Let me pull up.
Because
our ordinance is what's consistent with the newest statute. They just haven't updated the statutes on the Idaho statute website.
The suggestion I had made was that it would include the board. If we didn't want to appoint somebody, that the board could make the decision, and it doesn't look like that made it into the bill. So we are going to have an unelected individual making these decisions.
Oh, joy.
Yes. Although you could have the commission, I've got the new.
So could the administrative officer that's appointed be a 3-member board?
It doesn't say committee. So I think it wasn't intended to be committee. I would read the plain language of that as just individual.
This is garbage.
Chairman, can I ask a question?
Sure.
And it's for Commissioner Brooks, who I really appreciate his legislative involvement. And it goes back, the last iteration that we discussed, I think, on the public record included the language on the fund that is no longer a fund. Do you know what the impetus was behind that, or when they stripped that out?
Well, what was passed, there was no fund, so that was the feedback, that there was no incentive that people wanted for individuals to fill out an application. So then the first iteration of the bill came back and had the Soil Conservation District as being the manager of such a fund, and I would like to think I had a part in killing that, because I think our Soil Conservation District has a annual budget of about $150,000, and they're full-time farmers, so it doesn't make sense for them to be the managers of that. But so
yeah,
as of right now, it didn't make it.
Okay, and I appreciate your comments. There are people in the farming community that we interact with who were excited about the possibility of receiving a dividend, quote unquote, back each year based on what they were promised would be in the bill, which is financial incentive to join up for a 20-year set aside for ag ground. So that's messaging that I hope that those groups, you know, can explain more than I can on how that's going to work. But thanks for your feedback.
Chairman Oldman.
Yes.
In just making sure we're all fully clear, under Senate Bill 1187, which is the new bill that came in that really addressed 679706, the language is that within 60 days of receiving a recommendation from the Agricultural Protection Area Commission to support the Board of County Commissioners or the Planning and Zoning Administrator or other administrative officer appointed by the Board of County Commissioners shall approve or deny the application. So that's kind of where, and then they have to do a written decision that specifies the ordinance and standards used in evaluating it, the Agricultural Protection Area Commission's recommendation, and a reasoned explanation for the decision reached. If the Board of County Commissioners or the administrator or administrative officer, if appointed, fails to issue it within 60 days, then the Board of Commissioners, the recommendation of the APA Commission will become the decision of the Board of County Commissioners. An aggrieved applicant may appeal the decision of an administrator or other administrative officer to the Board of County Commissioners within 30 days after receiving the written decision pursuant to subsection 1. So it's really an odd statute because it seems like this board can either act directly, or you could appoint the Planning and Zoning Commissioner to make a decision, or you could designate another person to make the decision.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Thanks for straightening me out. I was on the previous version that they passed earlier in the session, 1133A.
Yes.
So then this 1187 was the trailer bill.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is as confusing as it sounds. So you can either be the appellate body or the initial decision maker after the APA commission.
It's a solution in search of a problem.
Just imagine if every bill in the Idaho State Legislature wasn't declared an emergency. Just imagine this. And you actually took 3 years to think through and vet it out. Just imagine that. Wouldn't that just be amazing? But no, we have to rush to this and keep fixing our fixes.
Chairman?
Yes?
I attended a NAMPA chamber luncheon, as did Commissioner Brooks, and I had two legislators at my table, so I invited them to come and hear what the state decisions and the bills that they're passing have, that what that boomerang effect is on local government. They both said they were willing and that, you know, we could potentially get more participation, but to have an agenda or to have, I think it's a call to have some of that impact outlined that they may not understand. I think that's a good move, workshop in the making, potentially.
Jay, do you have, or Josh, either one have comments or concerns about any of the actual implementation or just points of view that you have in dealing with it directly?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, I think that we're going to see more tweaks going forward until they get to a point where maybe it'll be workable or who knows where to go. But in the meantime, we haven't or will have an ordinance that we're required to have, and we'll sort out the details of how to make it work when an application does come in. We haven't seen any application, I haven't heard any pressure from anybody wanting to so far, because I haven't created the application. I haven't had to, because nobody has said, hey, where's the application? But get an application put together in preparation for that, as well as get you a list of names to think about for appointing an APA commission. We haven't filled that form that all. I'm still missing a couple of people that I had anticipated with your help and direction last fall or over the winter. Interest in being on that board. There is still some interest, but I need more names for your consideration. That'll be coming in the next, within a month, for sure.
Okay. All right. How would we like to proceed?
I don't think we have a choice, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Van Beek is so apt at saying, I protest.
And to that, I object.
Yeah, so sorry. I object.
Yeah, and Chairman, I think Commissioner Brooks has done a good job of identifying that this is a solution in search of a problem. It's people, when they ask, I said, well, I don't think we're building a wall. So there is a changing climate, and the people that we interact with, those farmers are 1031 in ground. They're going up instead of out. They're improving farming practices. And for a case in point, on a Sunny Slope farmer, he said the productivity, you know, for 50 years ago, they planted 80 trees in an acre, and now they're doing 800. So I'm not saying that there isn't a need. I'm saying I don't know how we work with the cities that are not under this mandate, and then with the personal property rights that are out there, and then with the growth that we're trying to manage on an increasingly smaller budget because of state mandates. It's a little bit of a ride right now, and we're trying to do our best and not end up in El Salvador. There you go. Thank you.
I would like to, before we consider this, I would like to make it a public record that the ineptitude of whoever the authors have been behind the scenes of this, I would invite them to familiarize themselves with LUPA and the standard timing that we have and the standard appeals process that we have. And I would caution the Idaho legislature in entertaining and bringing forth land use law that now becomes a standard faction to be separate and a part of LUPA. You guys are going to create a stew that will be very easily vomited up by the state participants of what you're creating. This is not good statute. This is not the way to go. If you're going to do something like this, work it so it can stand with all of the other standards of LUPA in land use and make it a part and part of it rather than a, oh, I could use so many different adjectives, other than a different part of land use. This is bad form, bad function. I'm not against what you're attempting to do. Let's make that clear. I'm not against what you're attempting to do. I'm really upset of the form and faction that you've chosen to try to shove this down the throats of the 44 counties. So with that said, is there any other discussion? Being that there's none, I would consider a motion of however you would like to form it.
Chairman?
Yes.
Under measured protest, I move that the board signs the ordinance adopting Chapter 7, Article 9, the Agricultural Protection Area Act, and that we sign the summary of an ordinance adopting Chapter 7, Article 9 of the Agricultural Protection Area Act as presented, in compliance with Idaho state statute.
I second.
All right. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.
I have one more question, I guess, a comment.
Yes.
So they didn't address the definition of an agricultural protection area. And so I guess I
changed from the initial.
Yeah, it didn't. So, and maybe DSD wants to straighten me out on this, but in my opinion, in reading it, it says the specific parcels within the area are the area.
Can you
not describe an area as specific parcels within the area? Like, that doesn't make sense. So then we adopt that definition that's in state statute into our ordinance, which seems to just compounds the problem, but yet we are essentially bound to do so.
We are bound to follow the I have seen in recent news articles where certain jurisdictions have decided there's no punishment factor and no enforcement mechanism.
I guess I just find it unfortunate that we have to adopt faulty definitions into our ordinance. So.
Agreed.
Chairman, if I might.
Yes.
I think what's weird about this in my mind, it says you have to map these, but oh, hey, it can't be a part of your comprehensive plan. But then it says it needs to be considered by like planners and through the land use process. And it is, what, a 20, 25 year obligation. What does that sound like? It sounds like a comprehensive plan, right? So we have this thing running parallel to a long range plan. So like you've said, it's confusing at best. So
yep.
That's my two cents.
Thank you.
Have a separate map of agriculture.
Yeah, you do.
Protective property that's or areas that are running. Yeah.
I'm curious about participation in this because there's enough criteria in this. It takes on the possible complexity of like a rezone, if you will,
yes,
for the factors we have to analyze. So now it's put in the mix of our other land use cases, and I think there's a hard ceiling on the fee. And
there is.
And then you guys have to hold a public hearing, and we're not getting reimbursed for that. So
right.
That's all I got.
And Chairman, I want to, we said this last time, but so this APA running parallel with the comprehensive plan where the designation of the comprehensive plan and the zoning, there is so much confusion. It is not easy for people to understand what it is that's supposed to be happening with the ground. And we haven't dealt with the people who have older entitlements where there's no enumeration of what they have. So it continues to be convoluted at a level that there's coming a point where we'll have to deal with the crash that's coming. So,
Josh, you made a really important point that I forgot to bring up about this. This does aggravate me to no end that the person or entity that wants to play this act is going to rely upon my retired fixed income little old lady, and she's going to help foot the bill for this deal. This is woefully unfair.
And Chairman, this from a legislature that doesn't levy property taxes, but they do levy Idaho state taxes. So it is a little bit, it's a lot unfair is what it is. And it is shoving all of that, including public defense, right back on the backs of taxpayers without meeting the critical infrastructure needs and the ability of local government to carry out state mandates.
Anything else? All right.
Board, we still have the second part, which is the notice that needs to be approved, motioned and approved, the summary to be published.
I'll consider a motion for the summary to be considered.
And Chairman, I'm going to look back at the clerk. I did include that in my motion. I did both of them.
Okay, we did.
No problem, yeah.
That's why we have Jen in here.
She, I still think there's money in the bill, so it's okay. There's a lot happening here.
Rereading some of the statutes.
Jenin's going, not me.
Thanks, Jenin.
All right.
We will be noticing up and bringing forth. I know Director Gibbons has talked about getting you some names for the commission.
Right.
We also have, as required in the statute, you can either appoint the planning and zoning administrator or a different person to be administrator
right
for the APA commission,
yeah,
or for the APA decision making. So,
correct.
I think once we get the commission established, then it might be a good time to pass a resolution appointing who that administrator will be.
I agree. Yeah. Make that an official piece of business. All right. Is there anything else under this fun and exciting part of our agenda today?
I don't think so, Chairman.
If there's not, I'd entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. We are adjourned. Thank you.